Hello again. Marion Pallister, Justice and Peace Commissioner and Pax Christi Scotland Chair. I hope you're well in these troubled times. In times of conflict, organisations that focus on peace and justice face inner conflicts that are difficult to reconcile. One issue that will never be in question, however, is the one about weapons of mass destruction. And recent events have surely highlighted the fact that the possession of nuclear weapons is no deterrent to war. Our presence at vigils and protests at Faslane, the nuclear submarine base on the Clyde estuary, are the visible outward sign of our commitment to rid the world of weapons designed to cause maximum harm to people, property and the environment. Cruel weapons that continue to inflict drastic destruction for decades after their initial deployment. This we know from the cancers, infertilities and deformities suffered not only by the victims of the two atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki at the end of the Second World War, but by those exposed to nuclear tests in the 1950s and 60s. We know it from the contamination of Pacific Islands, Aborigine homelands in Australia, and testing grounds in Mexico. Contamination that continues to this day, depriving populations of the fruits of their seas, their drinking water, their agricultural lands, their access to tradition and heritage. And of course, the weapons that are stockpiled today by the 9 nuclear nations are each 3,000 times, yes, 3,000 times more powerful than those atom bombs dropped by the US on Japan in August 1945. Let's think about that for a moment. Between 90,000 and 166,000 people died in Hiroshima, about 20,000 of whom were soldiers, and between 39,000 and 80,000 were killed in Nagasaki. Do we really want to multiply that by 3,000? We've seen the devastation called by so-called conventional weapons in the past few weeks. President Putin was right when he threatened that if other countries intervened in his attack on Ukraine, it would lead to consequences you have never seen. There is no denying that such threats are terrifying, and Mr. Putin is not the first Russian to have made them. I give away my age when I say that I was a teenage schoolgirl when Nikita Khrushchev and John Kennedy were playing brinkmanship during the Cuba crisis, believing implicitly that America or Russia or both would deploy nuclear weapons. My friends and I discussed how we would spend our last 4 minutes. We were terrified, witless, and I can still feel the intensity of that fear. A friend who teaches secondary pupils today says that her pupils are afraid. God knows what the people of Ukraine have been feeling. Those youngsters my friend was talking about have every reason to be scared. From where we live in Argyll to the Faslane naval base is around 60 miles by road. It's about 36 to Glasgow from Faslane. But radiation fallout doesn't travel by the A83 or the A82. I won't go into the intricacies of what happens when a 2022-style nuclear weapon is detonated, but the intense heat could ignite fires and cause severe burns on exposed flesh as far as 20 miles distant from the large thermonuclear explosion. I'm sure Mr. Putin doesn't have to use Google to know that the Royal Naval Armament Depot at Coolport in the Clyde area consists of 16 nuclear weapon storage bunkers that have been built into a ridge overlooking Loch Long. Trident missile warheads and conventional torpedoes are stored at the weapons depot, where they're installed and removed from submarines. That's why representatives from Justice and Peace Scotland and Pax Christi Scotland, folk from Scottish CND and Christian CND, the Catholic Worker, members of the Faslane Peace Camp, Scottish Christians Against Nuclear Arms, members of ICAN, that's the International Campaign Against Nuclear Arms, and a host of others turn up to make their views known outside the gates of this installation. It's why we pray there, as we did on Ash Wednesday. It's why Archbishop Nolan, Bishop President of Justice and Peace Scotland, and successive church leaders of other denominations have faithfully made their pilgrimage to the site that none of us wants and which makes us sitting ducks for people like Putin. Archbishop Nolan is outspoken against weapons of mass destruction and spoke powerfully at Pax Christi Scotland's online event this month that marked the 40th anniversary of the Scottish Bishops' Conference momentous declaration against nuclear weapons back in 1982. That the Catholic Church would speak out against such weapons was nothing new even then. Pope John XXIII helped to de-escalate the Cuban Missile Crisis that frightened us Scottish teenagers so much. Then, in his document Pacem et Terris in 1963, he urged that nuclear weapons must be banned. He added that a general agreement must be reached on a suitable disarmament programme with an effective system of mutual control. And the limited test ban treaty was concluded 4 months later. Pope John Paul II said in 1982 that that same year that our own bishop spoke out against nuclear weapons, that peace is our duty, our grave duty, our supreme responsibility. And he and Pope Francis shared the idea that a negative peace is not sustainable, while a positive peace is possible. Pope Francis has said that such weapons are immoral, their manufacture, their possession, and of course their use. Some of you may have attended the Pax Christi Scotland online event last year when we discussed Clause 6 of the Treaty of the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. That's the clause that deals with compensation for victims of nuclear tests and reparation for damaged lands. Nick Melly was one of our speakers. He's a retired US diplomat who currently coordinates the Pax Christi USA Working Group on Nuclear Disarmament and serves on the Pax Christi International Working Group on Nuclear Abolition, the No Nukes Group, as we call it, which is where I first met him, albeit virtually. Nick wrote in the Seattle Times this March, many former diplomatic and military officials have been working for nuclear abolition for some time. They include President Jimmy Carter, Henry Kissinger, and many others from the US and other countries. Religious leaders, including the Dalai Lama, the late Desmond Tutu, and Pope Francis, have also condemned the continued existence of nuclear weapons. We are just so not alone in wanting to see an end to these weapons. And of course, the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, which came into effect in January 2021, actually makes them illegal. But that's not stopping Russia, America, and the UK from waving them at each other. And as long as these countries are in possession of nuclear weapons, the other six nuclear nations will cling to theirs. I'm sorry to belabour the point, but this humanitarian crisis that the world faces is created by a dictator who believes his threats can bring the rest of the world to heel, when in fact all he can do is quite literally blow that world to smithereens. How can we counteract this? When a situation is all about power and money, we have to demand accountability. It's the weapons manufacturers that hold the power, pouring money into everything from school curriculums and university prizes to funding political parties. We're so angry about the Russian oligarchs who've contributed to the Tory party. Let's get angry and demand transparency about the arms manufacturers who also influence our politics. I'm sure you all know by now that I'm a great fan of boycotting banks and investment funds that finance nuclear weapons research, development and production. Pax Christi Scotland works closely with Don't Bank on the Bomb, and if you want to know which financial institutions invest in nuclear weapons, those pension funds, banks and other organisations, just look up Don't Bank on the Bomb's website. Write letters. There are templates on that website to make it easy, and move your bank account to an ethical bank rather than leaving it in one that invests your money in the companies that make nuclear weapons and their component parts. But tell Bank One why you're moving to Bank Two. It's a bit of an effort, but surely it's worth taking non-violent action that can stop a dictator who can only think in terms of violence. And if your friends and neighbours still think that this crisis is about people elsewhere, tell them about the nuclear weapons sitting on Scottish soil. Remind them. Weapons that our First Minister recently condemned and that the majority of people in Scotland don't want to host. Then ask them to campaign for divestment. We can shame investors to quit making money from such immoral ventures, and without the investment, the research, development and manufacture of weapons of mass destruction simply has to stop. But we can't be naive about this, of course. As Archbishop Tomasi, Secretary of the Holy See's Dicastery on Integral Human Development, said recently, there is no illusion that the number of weapons will disappear as if by magic or after moral and legal condemnation. Therefore, the Holy See is equally engaged in a step-by-step dialogue with nuclear-armed states whose commitment remains crucial to the achievement of any serious and realistic discussion of nuclear arms control. And as time runs out, and honestly it is, it's running out, this process counts as much on us as it does on the clever ecclesiastical negotiators. Our voices matter. Our actions matter. Remember what Archbishop Nolan, then Bishop Nolan, told us in his peace message a few years ago? If we don't tell politicians what we want, they can't know what we want. And Catholic social teaching tells us to be the voice of the voiceless, a voice that declares our solidarity with our brothers and sisters in distress and danger. As Catholic social teaching says, we are one human family, our brothers and sisters' keepers, wherever they may be. Loving our neighbours has global dimensions in a shrinking world. At the core of the virtue of solidarity is the pursuit of justice and peace. And as we know, Pope Paul VI taught that if you want peace, work for justice. The gospel calls us to be peacemakers. Our love for all our sisters and brothers demands that we promote peace in a world surrounded by violence and conflict, more today than ever. So let's share part of Pope Francis's prayer for peace. Lord, God of Abraham, God of the prophets, God of love, you created us and you call us to live as brothers and sisters. Give us the strength daily to be instruments of peace. Make us sensitive to the plea of our citizens who entreat us to turn our weapons of war into implements of peace, our trepidation into confident trust, and our quarrelling into forgiveness. Keep alive within us the flame of hope, so that with patience and perseverance we may opt for dialogue and reconciliation. In this way may peace triumph at last, and may the words division, hatred and war be banished from the heart of every man and woman. Lord, diffuse the violence of our tongues and our hands. Renew our hearts and minds so that the word which always brings us together will be brother, and our way of life will always be that of shalom, peace, salam. Amen. and thank you for listening.